In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus said, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." I'm sure we all would agree with Jesus on that. Later at his trial, Jesus said to Pontius Pilate that he came to bear witness to the truth. Then Pilate asked Jesus, "What is truth?" What is truth? How would you define it? The dictionary definition of truth is something that is in accord with the facts and reality. 2 + 2 = 4 is a fact. That water freezes at 32 degrees Fahrenheit is reality. Those are truths. In the biblical sense, truth means a lot more than that. Truthfulness is a characteristic of God. What is true is what is in accord with God and with his will. Jesus said that he himself was the way and the truth and the life. Jesus who is honest, Jesus who is loving, Jesus who is life-giving is the truth. Truth in human flesh is the person Jesus Christ. That is the truth. There are certain essential statements about our Christian faith which are true. One is that our God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Another is that Jesus truly is both fully God and fully human. A third, especially important truth for we Lutherans, is that we are justified by grace through faith, not by works of the law. In plain terms, that means that our sins are forgiven and we are put right with God by clinging to the truth that Jesus died for us and not by anything that we try to do to earn our salvation. The truth is under attack these days, both truth in the general sense and truth in its specifically religious sense. If truth is true, it must be absolute. People often talk about sharing my truth, but there is no your truth and my truth. There is only one truth. There often is your version of the truth and my version of the truth, but there is really only one honest-to-God truth. Truth is not relative. Truth does not change from time to time or from culture to culture. As a pastor, sometimes there are people who want to talk to me about some religious truth that they've discovered. Often these are people with little or no connection to any church or to a church that's far out of the mainstream. And I'll pretty much talk to anybody about anything. But as you might imagine, some of these conversations can become quite strange. And usually the people I talk with aren't really looking for a conversation, a verbal give and take, an exchange of ideas. They want to talk, but not listen. I'd like to share with you a conversation like that with someone who you do not and could not know that I think especially relates to and illuminates some of our Reformation Day themes. Several years ago, a visitor worshiped in the church that I was serving and asked to speak to me after the service. I agreed. He told me at length about his religious education. I think he wanted to impress me. He described himself as a self-appointed missionary, although he was not affiliated with any religious group. This brought to my mind the Reformation principle of the priesthood of all believers. The priesthood of all believers doesn't mean that everyone should stand at the altar and celebrate the sacrament of Holy Communion. It does mean, though, that each of us has the privilege to read the Word of God ourselves and to share it with our neighbors and to pray to God for ourselves and for others. Christ created the office of the ordained ministry to ensure that the Word is preached and the sacraments administered properly. To achieve that, he calls certain people to public ministry. Now, a person could be mistaken about whether or not he is called to public ministry. So that call is always ratified by the church. Pastors are first trained and then approved by other pastors for a call. Acting on behalf of and at the will of the Holy Spirit, the congregation then calls a candidate to be their pastor. That way, the true teaching and practice of the faith is safeguarded. A pastor just can't do or say anything he wants. He is accountable to the church. Without that training and accountability, lone rangers accountable to no one can really go off the rails into error and heresy, as we'll see. The first point the young visitor made to me was that Lutheran churches should not be called Lutheran. He said that we should not worship Martin Luther because he was just a man and sinful. Where he got the idea that we worshiped Luther, I don't know. He seemed to think that this was going to be new information for me and that I was immediately going to rip up all of our church letterhead and maybe run out and tear the word Lutheran off of our sign. I didn't. But I did think about how we Lutherans regard Martin Luther and reject the cult of the saints. I explained to him that we don't worship or pray to Martin Luther or to any human being, not even those traditionally designated by the church as saints. We worship and pray to God alone. We know that Luther was a sinner like all of us. He was not perfect. But Luther was also uniquely insightful and a great leader and teacher to whom we look up to as an inspiration and a person worthy of our imitation. I also told him that Luther did not want the churches that adopted his reforms to call themselves Lutheran. Luther reminded us that he was not crucified for anyone. Only Jesus Christ was, and so we should not call ourselves Lutheran, we should call ourselves Christians. But Lutheran was the slur term that people used as an insult for us, and the name stuck. Over the year, there have been some movements to rename the Lutheran Church. One was the Evangelical Catholic Church. Since we are evangelical in that we preach the good news and that we are Catholic, that we follow the traditional practices and traditions of the church. That movement failed. So did a movement to call the Church of the Augsburg Confession, since the Augsburg Confession is our statement of faith. And again, that movement failed too. So we're stuck with Lutherans, and it's really not that bad. My visitor's next point, sure to stump me, he imagined, was to call Martin Luther an anti-Semite. It's true that Luther was a man of his times, and his times were ripe with anti-Semitism. And it's also true that Luther did say some very harmful, hurtful things about the Jews that we regret and wish that he never would have said. Luther and the Jews is a sensitive topic. However, there is some context missing from his remarks, and one also needs to know how we Lutherans today regard what Luther said and how we regard the Jews. As a young theologian, Luther appreciated that the Old Testament was the Word of God and that it pointed to Jesus Christ as our Savior. What Luther could not understand was why the Jews could not also see that Jesus was their promised Messiah. He didn't understand why they just wouldn't turn to him as their Savior. And his frustration with them turned to anger because they would not come to Christ. Luther's problem was never racial. His problem with them was theological. And being such a passionate person, Luther said some really nasty, violent things about the Jews. And I hope that he didn't mean them literally. We know that what Luther said about the Jews was wrong. And we do not have to believe everything that Luther said. As we've said, he was a fallible human being, as are we all. We pledge ourselves to what the Bible teaches, and we accept certain writings by Luther and the other reformers as being true commentaries and explanations of our faith. We call those the Lutheran Confessions. Lutherans' unfortunate statements about the Jews are not part of the Lutheran Confessions. We don't need to think and feel about the Jews as Luther did. Some people try to draw a line from the religious leader Luther to the philosopher Nietzsche to the politician Hitler. That is just not so. Luther was a Christian, Nietzsche was an atheist, and Hitler practiced the occult. Bottom line, we Lutherans reject anti-Semitism. My visitor's final point was the quirkiest. He wanted to talk about the sin of gluttony. You know, overindulgence in food, excessive overeating. I think maybe he was just trying to get under my skin. He pointed out to me that gluttony is one of the seven deadly sins, along with greed, lust, anger, pride, envy, and sloth. He said that gluttony was much ignored these days, especially among many pastors. I was sure then that he was trying to rile me up. You'd never know it to look at me today, but I used to be chubby at one time. I didn't take the bait, but I did talk about the Lutheran understanding of sin. From Adam and Eve down to us today and on to future generations, human beings were and are and will be sinners. It's born into us. We call it original sin. It's our fractured relationship with God. The sins that we commit are symptoms of that broken relationship. Jesus tells us also that it's not just what we do, it's also what we think. Anger is akin to murder, and sin permeates everything, even our best efforts and intentions. Jesus alone has the right to judge sin. But we humans do, and oh, how we do. There is nothing easier than noticing and criticizing someone else's sin. Jesus talked about the Pharisee in the temple who thanked God that he wasn't like the tax collector. Jesus said, we point out the speck in our brother's eye while we walk around with a log in our own. Those are examples of pride. Now, I might be being judgmental here, but I think the guy talking to me about gluttony was proud that he wasn't a glutton, and I think he was angry that I hadn't caved in to all of his other points. But he is blessed, and I am blessed, and you are blessed, that our salvation does not depend on us overcoming the sins of gluttony or pride or anti-Semitism on our own, but we are forgiven for Jesus' sake. That was the ultimate truth Luther and the reformers proclaimed. Jesus died for our sins. Jesus has an unlimited supply of grace to share with us absolutely for free. We can't buy our way into heaven. We can't work our way into heaven. We can't even pray our way into heaven. Christ alone is the way, and that is the truth. That is most certainly true. Amen. And may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.